Lots of hockey and also something very near and dear to Dregs' heart as he joins us now. Dregs, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am excellent. We'll get to the hockey stuff in a second, but more importantly, I know you've become kind of the national spokesperson for Alzheimer's Awareness Month. It's running from January 10th through till February 10th, and this is something I know your stepfather has dementia. My grandma had it for 10 years. I know firsthand how it is. It's a brutal disease. And I guess, first of all, kudos to you, Darren, for stepping up and putting your name behind this. And I think you got like over 1 million followers on Twitter, so you're definitely going to be able to touch people on a regular basis. And I like that you've shared a lot of personal stories with it. Can you kind of tell people out there, a lot of people probably have family members dealing with Alzheimer's or dementia, kind of what's been the toughest part watching your stepfather go through it?
Well, you know what? Probably getting to the point of the diagnosis, Jason, to be honest with you, which was last May. And, you know, you could see the signs in how things were changing with Irvin. You know, he was effectively born and raised on a farm in Saskatchewan, you know, grew up working with his hands, you know, retired as a farmer. And so there was never such a thing as starting a project that he couldn't or wouldn't finish. And that was probably one of the first signs, you know, simple tasks, you know, putting up a gazebo in the backyard, as an example, became too taxing for him. And, you know, it wasn't just the physical side of things, but the mental side of things, you know, how this thing that he'd put together on an annual basis for a decade or more, you know, just the complexity of putting it back together started to escape him. And so there were warning signs, no question about that. And there were some other physical signs that independently were being treated. And that became frustrating as well, because there was never a diagnosis on one thing, but then memory loss started to come his way, and other, again, signs and symptoms that my mom would see around the house, where finally, you know, after scans and MRIs and this test and that test, you know, they reached the conclusion that, you know, not only did he have dementia, but he had also been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And so at that point, you know, my mom's life changed dramatically. And so did my life and my brother and my sister. And, you know, we became, you know, strong advocates of awareness, because we were unaware. You know, we didn't know the number of Canadians that are diagnosed on an annual basis of more than 25,000. We didn't know the challenges that we were going to face. We didn't know that there was a terrific amount of support available through Dementia Friends and from the various Alzheimer's societies around Canada. And so we're going through that now. And part of my campaign and jumping on board is to do exactly that, you know, to take time and your time, thankfully, to come on shows like this and educate the people out there and the families who are impacted that there is, you know, care out there, and there are answers to many of the questions that people dealing with it absolutely have.
The one thing I like, I worked a lot with Alzheimer's. We do their tournament every year, and the thing I like about them is when they do their fundraising, they have specific parts of it that goes to the families, because there's so much involved with the spouse or, you know, sometimes children having to take care of loved ones once they've been, you know, and because there's a certain time, yeah. Darren, like, you know, the hardest part about it is you want them to maintain dignity. And when you have the initial stages of it, they can still function very well. It's just some days they forget simple, basic things. And so just having even that outlet to go talk to, yeah, somebody is huge.
Well, it is, Jason. And look, in my mom's case, and she wouldn't be unique in this, and it doesn't matter whether it's the husband or the wife, the caregiver in general absorbs such a tremendous amount of stress. And so much of it, they just feel as part of the job. That's what they signed up for when they took their wedding vows. But it becomes incredibly hard physically. You know, my mom's 77 years old, and there were points within the past year, you know, before he was welcomed into long-term care in Saskatchewan, where she was looking after him at home, and, you know, she was sleeping an hour a night, because that's all Irvin was sleeping, was 1 hour a night. And, you know, he was running around the house, and, you know, she was fearful that he was going to flee, he was going to get outside. All of those things are incredibly hard on the primary and the principal caregiver. And so when she was introduced to, you know, an Alzheimer's counselor through the Alzheimer's Society in Saskatchewan, that was a godsend. You know, this is literally an angelic person, somebody my mom can communicate with hourly if necessary, and had answers to her questions. So, you know, that's a big part of it as well. You know, of course, it's dealing with, you know, the individual who's been diagnosed. But as I'm learning through this process, so much of it is part of making sure that families and the caregivers are aware that the support is there for them.
Darren Dreger from TSN joined us. He is the spokesperson this month for Alzheimer's Awareness Month. There's, you know, stories of disease and caregivers and families that show how everybody's connected. You can follow it on Twitter. Their hashtag is In It for ALZ. That's A-L-Z. And it's not just theirs, these, it's ours too. Darren, we appreciate it. We'll share some more stories throughout. I want to talk a little hockey with you as well.
Sure.
The Edmonton Oilers, for me, kind of, you know, the second quarter is done now. And here they're right in the thick of things in the Pacific Division. They make some moves today. Gustavson last night, you know, he's been a fish out of water the last few times. And then It was only a matter of time. Do you think they'll just promote Brassois, or would maybe getting a veteran like McElhaney, who I know had a tough game against the Rangers, but his overall number is pretty good in Columbus. What route do you think they should go or will go?
Well, it depends, Jason, obviously, on how they feel where Brassois is in terms of his development. You know, if he's ready and they want to challenge him a bit more, then why wouldn't you do that? But, you know, if he's getting great starts and his development is on path with where they want and need it to be, then why would you interfere with that either? So because of that, then perhaps McElhaney, as an example, is the best option. But I also don't believe that one bad start for Gustavson is the reason why Pete Chiarelli would knee-jerk and claim another goaltender who happens to be on waivers, off waivers. You know, the other day, the Boston Bruins did it with Kudobin. We've seen other examples this year with Jaro Halak, Pavlik from the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, those contracts really aren't the right fits for the Edmonton Oilers. But, you know, when you're looking for that type of a role, you know, usually the waivers provide other examples. You just have to sit back and be patient. And, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs are in a similar type of predicament. You know, they know that Freddie Anderson is their number one. They don't want to overtax Antoine Bebo in the American Hockey League. And Enroth, frankly, wasn't good enough, and that's why he was placed on waivers. But you have to really take stock and be sure that, you know, bringing up your American League goaltender, a guy that's still in the development stage, is the right thing for him. So I'm going to be curious to watch waivers tomorrow to see what Chiarelli does.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And I think with Brassois, just having him up here to work every day with their goaltender coach likely would be a big benefit, because with the way Cam Talbot's playing and the style he plays, whoever their backup is might only need to start 8 to 10 games here in the final 40.
Yeah, I get that, and I'm supportive of that, because you're right. You know, sometimes, you know, having a player goaltender up around the NHL team and with the NHL club from a coaching perspective is great, and developmentally it can be beneficial. But, you know, there are other examples of where things have gone a bit sideways, and not to go back to the Bruins entirely, but, you know, the backup starts are important starts, and, you know, you have to give Cam Talbot a rest. So, you know, Todd has to be 100% certain that Brassois is the best option to help the Edmonton Oilers win, because those starts, as I said, matter. You know, the Boston Bruins are in the thick of things in the East because they couldn't get real good starts out of Kudobin, and you have to be able to give Tuukka Rask some rest. So that's why they went to the direction that they had to do. So the Oilers are going to take full stock of the value and the importance of the starts that goaltender is going to have to be able to handle.
Darren Dreger from TSN joins us. Darren, we're now, 7 weeks away from the trade deadline. It starts to heat up. There's only two teams for sure out of it in Arizona and Colorado. Now, there's others that we can make a guess that we think, like New Jersey and some other ones, but really only two that are without a doubt, you know, one hot streak away. They can't get in it anyway. So you look at Colorado. What are you hearing about that team? Who do you think is on the market, or do you think if there's any big moves, they likely won't happen until the offseason?
Well, I'm starting to feel like that's likely the scenario that Joe Sakic is going to embrace, the offseason moves, because, you know, if we're targeting individuals like Matt Duchene or Gabe Landeskog, I mean, to get full value, to maximize the return, you've got to wait till the offseason when you've got complete flexibility. And Sakic would know that from making the Ryan O'Reilly trade at the draft you know, the Buffalo Sabres. And really, what are you trying to accomplish in season anyway by making a deal of that magnitude? You know, you're in 30th place in the National Hockey League. It's in best interest of the Colorado Avalanche, even though you can't admit this or try and sell this to a proud fan base. You know, finishing last puts you in a great position for, you know, an optimum draft pick. And unfortunately, at the midway point of the season, that's the way Sakic and management of the Avalanche and John Chaika and the Arizona Coyotes have to be thinking. Unless a team steps forward with the piece or pieces that make a deal of moving Duchesne out or Landeskog, for me, is a long shot. I mean, his name has been mentioned, and there were trade talks last year prior to the draft lottery specific to Landeskog, but I see too much value in him. But to make those type of deals makes more sense for me in the offseason.
Why do you think, like, a lot of people were blaming Patrick Waugh's coaching system? That was the reason the last few years, and clearly that's not the case in Colorado. What do you think they're missing most?
I obviously I'm not in that room. Maybe some leadership, and I always hate, you know, talking about that because, again, not being in the room, I'm not here to assassinate the character of any of these individuals or the assigned leaders of the Colorado Avalanche, but I can tell you they moved out a real good leader and character guy in O'Reilly, as we touched on. You know, maybe go back to Stastny being allowed to walk away from the organization and signing with the St. Louis Blues. I mean, Sakic clearly invested in the core that he has now with Matt Duchesne at the helm. And there's nothing wrong with Matt Duchesne. He's a quality hockey player. But when you look at the core of the Colorado Avalanche, he's a piece of that core, and they're not getting the job done. So only those inside that room can answer why that is, because on paper, when you look at Colorado, yeah, they've had to deal with injuries to Johnson and others, but every team goes through that. I mean, you look on paper at Colorado, they should be better. But I ask myself, why did Patrick Waugh bail when he bailed? Well, he bailed, I'm thinking, because he knew that this team wasn't going to be that good for whatever reasons. Again, internally they would know, externally we don't know. And he probably also knew that the team wasn't going to be that good and he'd be fired by this time this year. So he just, you know, managed his own direction, if you will. But it has to be internal. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense as to why this team has floundered as mightily as they have.
Yeah, they have definitely hit the skids. Arizona is another team that, now, they haven't had a lot of talent for a year, and so maybe this is just kind of inevitable for them. But they've got a pretty good defense core. And that's been, you know, at times the Achilles heel. I know they don't have a lot of scoring there, Darren, but their defense, like Oliver Ekman-Larsson's having an average year, and when he's having an average year, the rest of them are falling apart. How much of a market do you think there's going to be for Stone?
I think there'll be a market, but how strong of a market is going to be interesting. You're right. You know, you look around that Avalanche roster, and there's some interesting pieces there. Stone's name is out there, Hansel's name has been out there for a long while. Anthony Duclair's name has been out there for a long while. But again, the asking price is too high, and I get it. I don't blame John Chaika. But, you know, the same general managers who are in the market for defense have been calling consistently. You know, I look at the New York Rangers. I mean, there's a very good team in the Eastern Conference. They're looking for a top four defenseman. Where are they getting that player from? You know, between now and the trade deadline, there's not likely going to be a lot of movement until a few more games are played and, you know, you have a definition of buyer and seller. To your point earlier, Jason, I mean, the two teams we know are out of it, Colorado and Arizona. Beyond that, you know, the teams are still very much in the mix or feel like they're in the mix. Another team that I'm going to watch closely here in the next 10 games or so, and maybe even next 20, is Detroit. You know, the Detroit Red Wings, they still believe that they're in the mix. And mathematically, of course, they are. And, you know, history is on the line with 25 straight playoff appearances. And, you know, Kenny Holland and management in Detroit, that's a proud group. And they want to do what's right by the likes of Cronwall and Zetterberg. So they want to make sure that they stay in it. But if things go miserably for that team in the next 10, 15, 20 games, then I wouldn't be surprised to see Kenny Holland sell off some pieces. But, you know, we're talking about contract guys or pending unrestricted free agents as part of that pool of available guys.
Dregs, as always, great stuff, man. We appreciate it and look forward to talking to you again next week. And again, for all of our listeners out there, if they want to get involved with Alzheimer's Awareness Month, what do you recommend?
Well, there are varying sites, obviously. Alzheimer's, Alberta is a great start. The Alzheimer's Society in Alberta is one of the many chapters. Dementia Friends, follow me online. You can follow dementiafriends.ca. Again, Alzheimer's Canada, if you want to look at it more nationally. All kinds of avenues to pick up on what's happening locally. And also by listening to your show, Jason, I know that you're a good friend and supply all kinds of information specific to what's going on both nationally and locally. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity and Alzheimer's and Dementia Friends for getting the word across as well.
Dregs, anytime, my man. And maybe one year we'll have to get you to come play on our team in the tournament. It's awesome. Fun time.
You haven't seen me play. I played in a father-son game a couple, 3 weeks ago. I mean, there's a reason that I hadn't played in 10 years, and I just reminded myself of that a few weeks ago.
Oh, hey, that's all good. That's all good. As long as you can enjoy a beer and share a few stories, you'll fit right in.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I can do that.
Well, that's good. And you could be like a Reg Dunlop player coach.
Now you've got my role nailed.
Awesome. We'll talk to you next Monday, Drex.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
I betcha.